Okay, I'm going to comment on a few more things in the book, and then we're going to go back to working with access. I mentioned last time that there are two kinds of logic flowcharts in pseudocode, and they give you an example of pseudocode on page 11 and again on page 14. But essentially, pseudocode is something like you could write start, and then you could ask for get, variable 1, variable 2, answer equals variable 1 plus variable 2, write the answer, quiet please, I don't deal well with competition, write the answer, stop. So that's pseudocode, okay? So pseudocode basically lets you write out what you need to do in English, and then you go ahead and put it into a computer code. A flowchart you've seen examples of, but there are certain symbols that we use. This symbol is a decision. And usually yes and no go off the side that way, where yes goes off to the right and no goes off to the left. Sometimes people reverse that. If they do, they have to be very careful to label it, because people make an assumption that yes will go off here, or yes can also be thought of as true, no can also be thought of as false. So yes or true, no or false. And this is a decision. So when I have to make a decision, I do it that way. If I'm doing a calculation, I use a rectangle. Or a lot of processing. A lot of processing is done with a rectangle. A parallelogram is for I.O. I.O. being input-output. This is a go someplace, or branch to someplace. I think that's the only ones that they mention in the book. Oh, start and stop are this kind of symbol. So when you're drawing a flowchart, those are the symbols you use. And they give you examples of that on page 13. And they're off from there on in. If you have a flowchart on page 15, just in case people have the book, you do not have to bring the book to school. If you have a loop, so let's say I start off, and I'm saying start, and then I say, okay, get variable 1 and variable 2, and then I can say add them to get answer, or I can write out the calculation, and then I can say write. And then if instead of stopping, I want to go back and get another one, this lets me set up a loop so that I can loop back and do it again. And that's similar to the example on page 15. data processing, processing data, computing, whatever, has basically three things to make a program. Three things a program has to be able to do. Or it's not a program language. If the language doesn't let you do those three things, then it's not a programming language. Okay. The first one is sequence. And this is an example of sequence. Do this, then do this, then do this. So that I move down in sequence and do things. The second one is I need to be able to make a decision. Okay, and we looked at that on the previous slide. And the third one is that I need the ability to loop. Because if I don't do the loop, I can't go back and do the same process over and over and over again. And if I've got 100,000 records on my database, I want to do the same thing over and over and over again. And you've seen access with looping kind of built into it, because you write the query. And then what happens? It processes every record according to your query and either displays it or doesn't display it, depending on whether it met your criteria. So if you have the decision, is major equals CI, it looks at the first record. If the major is CI, it displays it. If the major is not CI, it doesn't display it. Then it looks at the second record. If the major is CI, it displays it. If it's not CI, it doesn't. And it looks at the third record. And if there's 10,000 records, it will look at all 10,000 records. Okay? And better it than us. Okay? So it will go in and process all 10,000 records. And if it can do it the first time right, it can do it every time right. Another thing that we don't have in common. Okay? Okay. The next thing they talk about on page 15 is also variables. And a variable names an area in memory that can hold something. Okay, so a variable can name an area in memory that can hold something. So I can set up a variable and call it var1. And when I said get var1, if the person keyed in, let's say, a 12, the 12 now gets stored in variable 1. If I then ask them for another number, the 12 will be replaced by another number. Okay. Now, variables should have no embedded spaces. Most languages don't allow it. Microsoft, unfortunately, lets you get away with it in Access and things like that. But there are no embedded spaces when I make up the name for something. Okay? Assigning a variable something. Okay. We tend to think of this as a equal sign. It's not. It's an assignment sign. This is an assignment sign. It's not an equal sign. Okay, when it's used that way. When it's used another way, like if I want to ask a question, and I want to say, if variable 1 equals variable 2, then it becomes an equal sign. So, essentially, yeah.
Don't you need 3, or is it just 2?
No, you don't need 3. 3 is for a certain level of verification. Okay, you only need 1. And some languages allow the 3, some allow 2. It depends on the language. You can have some languages that want 2. You can have 2 equal signs. You can have some that want 3 if they're going for a certain verification. But one equal sign can be used in some languages, and it can then be an equal sign. This is an assignment sign. For example, if I have a variable called count, and I say count equals count plus one, clearly that's not an equal. Count does not equal count plus one, okay? So if count has in it a five, for example, okay, five does not equal five plus one. What I'm saying there is take count, which is five, add one to it, which is six, and assign the six back to count. So I assign the six back to count. So count will go from being five to being six after I have done this calculation. So count equals count plus one. It's not really that. What it's saying is saying, take count, add one to it, and assign it back to count. Okay? So it's saying, do what's on the right and assign it to the left. So here I'm saying, add what's in variable one and what's in variable two and assign it to answer. So if I had variable one, and then I had variable two, and variable two started out as a four, and then answer started out as a zero. Then I execute this, and I say, take variable one, which is a 12, add variable two, which is a four, that gives me 16, assign it back to answer, and answer becomes 16. Okay, because I added the two things together and I assigned it to answer, so answer becomes 16. If a few minutes later somebody puts in 20 and 40 for variable 1 and 2, then I will add 20 and 40 and assign it to answer, and answer will go up to 60. So all of the variables can change as I put things into them. Does that make sense? Okay. Chapter 1 is basically vocabulary. That's what it is. It's really vocabulary. They're defining a whole lot of terms in there. And so you really should read the chapter fairly carefully for the vocabulary. Okay. Okay, a constant is a number. For example, they tell you a constant is a number that can't change. It's kind of like a variable, but a constant doesn't change. So if this was a constant, then I would not be changing it if I define it as a constant. The other thing they talk about is two types of data, numeric and string. String is essentially text or character. String can hold anything. It can hold numbers, it can hold letters, it can hold special characters, it can hold anything. Numbers hold numbers and decimal points. Although I think almost all languages allow for decimal points. They then also talk about ending things, and we're going to actually get to that in some examples next week, so I'm going to kind of leave that because I think it works better with examples. So that's basically what I want to cover in Chapter 1. But a lot of what's in the book gets embedded in what we're doing. So basically, I want you to read the book. It's got good information in it. But on the whole, I'm not going to stand over here and say, page 15 says this. You figure it out. What I will do is I will apply a lot of what the book is saying to the examples that we're doing. So we're going to do the practical stuff, and the book is going to give you the theory. Okay? So I need you to read the book to get the theory, but I'm going to embed most of the practical stuff into the examples that we do. And, for example, if statements are embedded in access, that's what a query is. It's an if statement. If major equals CI and something else do this, that's an if statement. You know, and the do this in access is display. If the major is CI, display. Otherwise, don't. So when I write major equals CI in the box on the criteria line underneath major, what I'm saying is, if major equals CI, I want to see the record. Else, I don't. Okay? So I'm looking at if statements there. Speaking of access, that's what we need to do next. So bring up access, please. I thought it was there. And I have to prepare to install, so it takes me a lot of time. Yours comes right up. But I've got a real computer, and you know. Really ought to be able to fix this. I think that's one that we did, since it says 11 on it and it has the right year. Okay, so when we've been creating queries up until now, we've been creating them using the user interface. So when I say create and then I click on query design, I'm using the user interface. And it will come up and make a user interface. Okay. So that means that people who don't really understand anything more than what we've covered can effectively use access to query something. Okay. What we're going to do instead it is open, yes. What did I do? I don't know what I did. Sometimes I shouldn't talk and click at the same time. Okay, what we're going to do is look at creating a query, but we're going to use SQL. Okay, SQL, which also is pronounced SQL, so it can either be pronounced SQL or SQL. Stands for the name for the query language, okay, that is used by all databases. All databases use SQL. Okay, if you look at job postings, almost everybody wants you to know SQL. because SQL is the query language that is used to query a database. And so knowing SQL is a definite plus. We're just going to glance at SQL more than anything else. But SQL is the language behind Oracle. It's the language behind MySQL. It's the language behind SQL Server. It's the language behind Access. And there's a whole bunch of others that it's the language behind. For us, we teach SQL extensively in the Oracle class, which is the class that is here right before you come in. But for us, we're just going to kind of scrape the surface. Okay, so we're going to do a create query design still. And then we can either say add student, or we can just close this. If we say add student and then close it, we go over here to the SQL view. And if we don't say add student, we can still go to the SQL view. Just let me paste that in, because that one does not come up automatically. Okay, so I'm going to click on SQL view, and it comes up. Since I told it that I was going to be using the student table, it comes up and says select student. Okay, I'm going to go find Notepad, and I'm going to copy and paste this and put it in Notepad where I can show it to you much bigger. Come on. Okay. So I've got select from student. So by telling it the table, it knew what to put in after the word from. Okay, the way SQL works is I say select, and then I tell it what fields I want to see from the database. Okay, what fields that I would like to see. You know how when you do the query, the user interface one, you drag down the fields you want to show in the query? Well, instead of dragging them down, I'm going to write them, yeah.
How did you get to that query one from student?
I clicked on under view, there's something that says SQL.
Oh, okay.
SQL view, okay. So I'm saying select student. If I put in here an asterisk, that means select all the fields. Okay, so if I say select asterisk, that means select all the fields from the student table. So I'm going to go back over here and put in the asterisk. Okay? And then I can click on view, and it shows me all of the people. Okay? So select asterisk from student brought up all the records. Now, if I decide I don't want to see all the records, I can go back to the SQL view, and I can say, no, I don't want to see all the records. I want to see ID number, STU name, major, just those. I want to see those three fields. Those are three fields that are on the student table, and I hope I got the names right. If not, it will let me know. So I'm saying I want to select ID number, STU name, and major from student. So if I come back over here and I say ID number, name, Stu name, major, okay? That's what I had. And I say, I want to view that. Now it is showing me just those fields, okay? So it's showing me the ID number, the Stu name, major from Stu. Now again, Notepad has nothing to do with this, except that I want you to be able to see it and to be able to see it at the same time I show the output. And so I'm putting it in Notepad, but the place where it's really at is when I go back here to SQL view, that's the one that's being executed. Notepad is just for show and tell. It's not having anything to do with execution. It's just what I'm using to show you. Everybody comfortable with that? So now I'm going to say I would like to change this. Well, let me make sure I took a picture of that. Okay, now I want to change this. And I only want the students where the major is equal to CI. Okay, so that's when I would put under CI on the criteria line, I would put under major rather, on the criteria line, I'd write CI. To do it here, I take away the semicolon, because the semicolon means I'm all done. And I write where major equals CI. And remember I told you that Microsoft added those quote marks for you? Well, it doesn't when you're doing SQL. You've got to remember to put them in. So I'm now saying, show me the ID, the student's name, just a sec, and the major from the student table where the major is equal to CI. Which means I'm only going to see the records where the major is equal to CI. Yeah?
The first word you put in all caps, does it have to be all?
No. Okay. And actually, I was going to say that, and you beat me to it. I've been putting the commands in all caps, so they kind of stand out. The keywords are select, from, and where, and I've been putting those in caps to make them stand out, but they can be in lowercase. So the whole thing can be done in lowercase. Okay. And in fact, when I'm doing it not for showing, I tend to do it all in lowercase. Okay, so this is what I've got. Now what I want to do is see how this looks. So I'm going to copy it. And I'm going to paste it in here. And again, I have the semicolon at the end. And I'm going to say view. And this is what I see. I see all of the, I see the ID number, the Stu name, and the major from the student table where the major is equal to CI. Anybody that doesn't have a major of CI is not showing up here. So again, this is the decision. I'm saying, is the major equal to CI? And if the answer is yes, I'm displaying the record. If the answer is no, I'm doing nothing. And here this circle is just joining. I showed you a circle that meant go someplace. This is just joining, really. So if the major is equal to CI, I display. Otherwise, I do nothing, meaning the record will not display. So only CI majors are displayed. Okay. Questions? Okay. How would you think I would write this if I want to get CI majors with a GPA greater than 3. What do you think I gotta change? Yeah.
Change, or I don't know if you could add an and.
Yep. I can.
People CI ands, GPA equals,
yep.
Or greater than or less than.
Yep. And GPA, what do I write here, is greater than, what do I write now? The 3 in quotes or the 3 not in quotes? CI is string. String data gets put in quotes.
Yeah, that's it.
3 is a number, so it doesn't get put in quotes. Okay? Now, is this done, or do I need something else? Yeah.
You need to show the GPA.
Yeah. It will still work without showing the GPA, but if I don't show the GPA, I'm not going to know whether it's right or not. So I'm going to show the GPA. So I said comma, ID number, student name, major, GPA. From a student, where major equals CI and GPA is greater than 3. Okay? So now I'm going to go and execute that. But first I have to copy it over here. So I'm going back to SQL view and I'm copying it. Okay. So now I've got it copied. Now I'm going to run it. So I'm going to say SQL view. I'm sorry, I'm going to say view. I've got it. And there they are. Those are the 2 students that have a GPA greater than 3. Okay. So those are the 2 students that have a GPA greater than 3. Questions. Okay. If you want to save this, I haven't been saving them, but I'm going to in this one. I click on the X over there, which closes the query. And it says, do you want to save the changes? I'm saying yes. And then I'm going to call it SQL major GPA. And then I'm going to click OK. And it saved it. Okay. So now I'm going to do another one. So I'm saying create query design. And this time I'm not going to add in the table. I'm just going to say now close. So I'm saying close. Okay. And then I'm clicking on SQL view. And when I closed it without doing something, it kind of assumed I wanted to do SQL view. So that was what came up over here right under files, SQL view. Because I hadn't done anything, so it assumed I'd want to do SQL. So, if I take this one and I want to change that to an OR, I can have an OR there. So I'm going to copy that and put it in over here. This is looking for CI majors or GPA greater than 3. And when I say view, there are the CI majors, and there are the people that aren't CI majors that have greater than 3. So there are the results. Okay. So the greater than 3s are showing up. The one that's not a greater than 3 is a CI major. So that's fine. Because I said either CI or GPA greater than 3. Okay. Now again, looking at flowcharts for these two, the and the or. When I said and, that means both of them have to be true. So I'm asking, is it a CI major? And if the answer is yes, I'm asking, is the GPA greater than 3? And if the answer is yes, I'm displaying. If the answer is no, I don't want to display. In fact, I want to do nothing. And if the answer is no to the CI question, I also want to do nothing. Okay. With an or, I'm going to ask the question, is the major CI? And if the answer is yes, I'm immediately going to display. If the answer is no, I'm asking, is the GPA greater than 3? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to display. And if the answer is no, I'm doing nothing and I don't have any more chances, so I am done. Okay. So those are the difference. If I have an and situation, that means both have to be true in order to display. If I have an or situation, it means either can be true in order to display. Only one of them has to be true. If the major is CI, I display. If it's not, I got a second chance. Is the GPA greater than 3? If it is, I display. So those are the differences between an and an or. Okay.
Can you go back to that? The or graph?
Thank you.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be up there tonight, folks. You know, it's fine to make copies of them, but honest, it will be up there some point tonight, or if not, early tomorrow morning, under the smartboard, so that you can see all of the notes. Okay, can I go? Are you almost done? Okay. So, now I come back to here, and I think I won't save that, so I'm going back to SQL view. So SQL view is showing that in SQL view. Now, if I go to regular design view, which is the user interface, it actually has it set up for me. So it took it and put it into design view. Okay? So that I can actually see it in design view if I want to. So this one went and I can see it in design view. And it is basically doing what I asked it to do. Saying CI or greater than 3. So it actually turns it into design view. Now, I'm not real partial to this. It didn't used to do this, but it's now showing the major GPA, major GPA. So the ones where I put the criteria, it puts it inside the square braces and puts the criteria on. But it doesn't have this button clicked, and that button is whether it's going to show or not. So it's showing major and GPA. It's not showing them a second time, but it's using the second time to check. It didn't used to do that. It used to be able to just put the CI under the first time it said major and under the greater than GPA under the first time it said GPA. So I didn't use the C, this pad over here. I'd say CI greater than 3. Don't know why they changed, but they did. Okay? And so that's the way you see it now. So any of you that are using an old version, and a couple of you said you were using an old version, probably won't see that. Okay. Sure. SQL or... Okay. So now I want to do another one. So I'm going to do create query design and close this. And then click on, as I said, it brings up SQL view at that point because it assumes that's what you want to do. Okay. So I want to say I want CI majors. And I'm also going to put number of courses up here, which was my other field. So let's say I want CI majors, and that has to be true. And if it is, I want a GPA greater than 3. And if it is, I want a display. And if it's not, I want to ask, okay, is the number of courses greater than 12? And if the answer is yes, I want a display. If the answer is no, I've run out of things to do. I join the yes and the no on the lower decision. Then I join the yes and the no on the next decision. And then I join the yes and the no on the top one. As I said, figuring out how to join it is probably the hardest part of the whole thing. So, how would I write this? If I was writing this in the user interface, CI would appear where? In the major. And how often would it appear?
On
both lines. It would appear on both lines. Because it has to be true. So if I were putting this in the user interface, I would see CI and GPA greater than 3 on the criteria line, and I would see CI and number of courses greater than 12 on the OR line. CI would be on both lines, right? Because CI has to be true. Okay, so now let's see what we have here. So the next thing I want to do is, and GPA is greater than 3, or number courses is greater than 12. Okay, I'm not done yet. Ands get resolved before ors. So, that's the rules of mathematics, it's the rules of logic. Ands get resolved before ors. So that means these two would get combined. So it would be major CI and GPA greater than 3. This one would stand alone. It would be as if I put the CI and GPA greater than 3 on the criteria line, and just the number of courses greater than 12 on the OR line. Okay. It would be like I did this. major, GPA, number of courses. I've got the criteria line, and I've got the OR line. So I would be putting CI greater than 3, and then I would be coming down to the OR line and putting just the greater than 12. Okay? So ands get resolved before I's, ORs. Ands get resolved before ORs. So CI and GPA would be on the criteria line. Greater than 12 would be on the OR line. Okay. Well, that's not what I want. I want CI to have to be true, right? So if I were dealing with the user interface, how would I fix this so CI had to be true? Yeah.
Put the CI with the number of courses through.
Yes. So I'm going to go over here and say edit, select all, edit, copy, insert a page, edit, paste, neat. Okay? So now I can fix this here, and if I want to be right, I would put the CI on both lines, right? And now it would be fixed. So how do I fix this one up here? Because the ands get resolved before ORs, so how do I fix it? Yeah.
After the OR, put CI, and then...
Yeah, I could do that. I could. This is an alternative. I can put that in parentheses. So that will read, the rules of logic say, parentheses are resolved before ands and ors. So if I put that in parentheses, then it says, okay, either of these, CI and either of these, and it resolves those first, and finds out if one of those is true. And if one of those is true, then it says, okay, it's major equals CI, and one of those true, then I'll display. Okay? So the parenthesis can go there, and as she pointed out, the alternative is after the OR, saying major equals CI again. So there's major equals CI and GPA greater than 3, or major equals CI and number of courses greater than 12. So that would be an alternative way of doing it. Okay, so I'm going to come back over here and put these parentheses in. Because, in fact, most programmers will do it that way. So I'm going to say major equals CI. That has to be true. And I read this word as either. The parentheses I read as either. Situation. So it's major is CI and either GPA is greater than 3 or number of courses is greater than 12. That's the way it ends up being read. Okay. So the order of operation is a hierarchy and it does resolves the parentheses first. And then ands are resolved before ORs. So if I want to change the ands being resolved before ORs, I can put parentheses in to change the order, to change the hierarchy. That says ORs. O-R-S. I resolve before O-R-S. Yes.
Can you have more than two things in the parentheses if they're separate?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you can have parentheses within the parentheses. So you can make it as complicated as you want. Think algebra. You can have parentheses within the parentheses. So I could have GPA greater than 3 or this and something else or something else and put them in parentheses, and I could really get this whole thing extended out quite a ways. Okay. So now we want to copy this and go and run it. So I'm going to paste that in there, and then I am going to run it. Invalid use of something. What did I got in there?
You have a period next to GPA, not a comma. On the select line.
Yes, you're right. Okay. Good debugging. That had to be a comma. So now we will try it. And now it produced the right results. And I need to come back here and fix this comma after GPA there as well. Okay. So now I'm seeing CI, and it turns out they all have a GPA greater than 3. But number of courses, all that's got this are greater than 12, so we know GPA got that. We don't know for sure what got the others. If we use better data and knew our data better, we could resolve it and change it. Okay. So chat is a little strange, but anyway. Okay, try doing this one. See if you can figure out how to do it. I want CI majors with a GPA greater than 2. And I want engineering majors with a GPA greater than 3. That's a 2. So I want CI with a GPA greater than 2. Or I want engineering with a GPA greater than 3. Okay, so try bringing up and writing a select statement for that. And feel free to talk to whoever's sitting around you. Yeah.
Have you ever tried using the program Gliffy?
What is it?
You can get it in the...
I didn't hear the name.
Oh, it's called Gliffy?
Gliffy, G-L-I-F-F-Y? No.
You can get it in the Chrome store, and okay. It's for making flowcharts.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
Each of the shapes are labeled out for you. You can okay. pick what kind of flowchart you want.
Yeah, no, there's a lot, actually, of yeah. software out there that it's you can cool. use to make flowcharts. But yes, definitely.
It's free, too. So.
Free is good.
Yeah.
Well, that means you need a front row seat.
True. Luckily, I have all this at home.
Right. And any resemblance to an A up here, that is an A, GPA, whatever. So how would you do this if you were using the user interface? This would be the criteria line, and this would be the OR line, right? Yep. So this would be the criteria, and this would be the OR if you're using the user interface. So now I want you to do it in SQL. Anybody get any results? Does it look good? If you need help or have questions, that's what Eric and I are for. So ask questions if you need help. You're making his job much too easy. You're not complaining? Yeah. Okay, yeah. He's gonna. Huh? The second note, right over there. Oh, you got that one.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
I keep getting a message, start just found that for SQL. major.
Yeah, you have to
ask your student. Ask the student in the front line.
What's it say? Or EN?
What?
I don't even have EN.
You called it table one. So you gotta change students.
So if you go back to the table.
How many? They have a few people got it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it. Okay, so here's SQL view, and I'm going to say where major equals CI and GPA greater than 2. Or major equals EN and GPA greater than 3, right? Do I need parentheses in this one?
No.
Because it resolves these two first. It resolves these two second. And then it does the OR. So the ANDs get resolved, so it looks at CI and GPA greater than 3, and then it looks at EN greater than GPA greater than 3, and then it says either of these. Okay, so now I'll close the ink layer, and I will run it. And that's what I got. I got this CI major has a GPA greater than 2. All of them do. And this one is greater than 3. So that's working fine. Okay. So this one was greater than 2. Or major equals EN and GPA greater than 3. Did I get that right? So I don't lead people astray and I don't need the closing parenthesis. So there it is. Okay. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in, actually, to design view. I guess I'll save this. You want to save changes? Sure. And either. No, this is... Okay. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to say create a query in design view. And I'm going to say add. And I'm going to bring down some stuff. Come on, we can do it. And I'm going to say I want CI majors. And CI is going to have to be true, so I'm going to have it both places. And I'm going to say I want a GPA greater than 2 or number of courses greater than 5, whatever. I'm just putting something like that in. And if I go and view the results, that's the results I get. Okay. Now what I'm going to do is go and look at the SQL view. And that's what I get. Okay. So, Microsoft, in all of its wisdom, has added about 5,000 layers of parentheses in here. And has put the table name in front of the student, in front of the field name all the way. So Microsoft has fixed it for me, and they have come up with their solution in SQL. It's right, but it's not what I want to see. Nobody would ever write this except Microsoft. Okay? No programmer would ever write this with all of those parentheses in it. So what I'm saying basically is, if this is what you hand in to me, I'm not even going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to send it back to you and say, I want the code that you wrote. Now, the unfortunate part of this is that when you write the code, if when you're clicking back and forth between SQL and Vue, you click the design too often, Micro decides that you want to have them fix it, and they will rewrite it for you. So, when you pass it in to me, there are 6 queries. Each of the queries, you have to, when you write it, cut and paste it onto a text or a Word document and send them to me along with the database so that I can see what you really wrote if Microsoft decides to fix it either because of me or because of you. So I want to see the query the way you wrote it. Okay, and I don't trust Microsoft not to fix it. So therefore, you've got to send me the database so that I can test and see if things work. But you also have to send me a list of the 6 queries, either a text document or a Word document, or even paste them onto the email. But I got to get the 6 queries the way you wrote them, not the way Microsoft fixed them. Does that make sense? No, the 6 ones you write in the assignment. There's an assignment. You didn't think I was going to not give you an assignment this week. Okay, soft skills database. So you're going to make up a database. And then after you've made up the database, like you did for the first one, you're going to make up a database. After you've made up the database, you're going to answer those 6 queries. Now, this database is a database of articles that you find on the internet about soft skills. Okay, the first week of school, you took a query on soft skills. Now you're going to go find a bunch of articles, and I'd say 10. 10 articles on soft skills. And so you're going to put them into a database. You're going to give them a 5-digit identifying number, whatever you want. Here's the name of the article. Here's the web address that you found the article at. Here's the publication or website where it appears. So in other words, if you can't find that, just make up something. But, you know, if it's in a particular site that does articles, I want to know what site it was. A code of 1 to 3 where you rank the credibility of the website. So, I'm not correcting on whether I agree with you about the credibility. What I'm looking for is a code of 1, 2, or 3 there. Okay, so you put in a code. Primary author of the site. Again, if you can't find it, that's fine. Your opinion of the article, rank it from 1 to 5. Again, I'm not correcting your judgment, I just want a code. And the year of publication. And then I want 6 queries done with SQL. Okay, so I want you to write 6 SQL queries to answer the questions down here. So here are the 6 queries that you need to write. Okay. and those have to be done in SQL, not using the user interface. Because we want to get into at least the basics of SQL. Questions? I know it's a fast-moving class. That's why it's important to keep up with the homework. If you don't keep up, it's going to quickly drown you. So please get to work this weekend. I need more to correct.
What does it do this?
Next Thursday. It's always due the Thursday after it's assigned. So hopefully I will get loads of emails tonight. I have mixed feelings about that. But I would really like loads of emails. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
All right. To get this correct, so we have...